Hello and welcome to Conversations with Dr. Stephen Greer. This is Dr. Greer, and welcome with me today Dr. Ted Loader, our science advisor for the OrionProject.org, and he is going to join me to talk about alternative energies, true alternative energies, and the current situation in Japan with the nuclear power plant there. And I'd like to thank the people at the World Fusion Network for hosting us every 2 weeks to discuss these issues with you and to update you on the projects that we are working on. So, Dr. Loader, welcome.
Oh, thank you, Steve. Pleasure to be on the board.
So the reason we decided to do this particular show is because we think it's very important that people understand that with all the public debate going on around what's happened after this tsunami and earthquake in Japan, that there are solutions to the energy crisis without using nuclear or coal or oil. And these are the ones that the Orion Project has been working on that deal with very high voltage systems that pull energy out of the fabric of space-time, the so-called zero-point energy field, and that while we spend hundreds of billions of dollars in federal funds underwriting new nuclear power plants and other schemes, there's not been one red cent spent on these technologies because they're such game changers that they would completely make those other technologies obsolete. And of course, you know how this connects to Disclosure Project, the DisclosureProject.org, is obvious, and that is that things that people see that are UFOs are not zipping through the skies using a nuclear power plant or a fossil fuel generator or a jet engine. They're using a whole new type of hyperdimensional physics where the energy is actually drawn from the infinite sea of energy that's teeming all around us that Nikola Tesla described, and which has actually been proven to exist in peer-reviewed journals at the zero-point energy field. So I think that what we want to focus on today is the fact that we have to have a major policy change and also a major focus from the public change that all of you can help us with by networking people and educating people to about the OrionProject.org, which was founded specifically to educate the public on these matters and to try to raise the funds to create a research and development facility where we could pull together the brightest minds that we've found in the world who have worked, some in classified projects, on these sort of very advanced energy and propulsion systems that would completely liberate the world from the macroeconomic tyranny of, and terror of the current energy system, because that's really what it is. Whether you look at the Middle East with our so-called national security interest there, which is a shorthand for oil, and or the terror now being experienced by people all around the Pacific Rim, not just in Japan, of this nuclear plant that has six reactors, like Three Mile Island, that two of which have had at least partial core meltdowns, and others that have spent fuel rods that have been exposed, and where there is literally, as of today, Dr. Loader was mentioning to me, the millions of gallons of water spewing into the Pacific Ocean with radiation levels millions of times the safe levels.
Yeah, in fact, it's interesting. What they've had to do is they're dumping the slightly less contaminated water out of the reactor plants because they have no room to store it. So they can store the more highly contaminated water. Well, the slightly less contaminated water is still majorly contaminated with radioactivity. The ocean limits, LA Times just today noted that the measurements of iodine-131, a short-lived radioisotope that is a major concern for a variety of reasons to people, was between 5 million and 7.5 million times the legal limit in seawater. Cesium-137, a longer-lived radioactive component of cesium, about a million times over the legal limit. This is, of course, will ultimately be dispersed. It will decay away from that area where it's being dumped by a combination of the ocean currents, absorption on the clays and other organic particles that settle down, as well as removal by biological systems. And of course, radioactivity decaying. So all of those will cause it to decay, part of the problem is that particularly the iodine and the cesium gets into biosystems. It gets absorbed, taken up by the smaller fish and moves up the food chain. And so that fish that are being captured by fishermen off that area are already radioactive, and they're trying to, and suddenly Japan, who, as I understand, never had limits on radioactivity in fish and what have you, suddenly their equivalent of the EPA is running around trying to set radioactivity limits for radioactive content of fish being sold in Japan. And so it's a whole new ballgame for that, and it's a sort of a quick, not a fix, but at least a response to that problem. So even once if they ever stop releasing all this radioactive water into the coastal zone, it will be in the sediments and in the biology for a long time down the line. It's going to have to be monitored very carefully. And for a country like Japan that depends so highly on seafood and other and seaweeds, they eat both seaweeds as well as various seafoods from the ocean, obviously, that this is going to be a major problem and impact their food supply in a major kind of way.
Well, as a further point of introduction, I want to the listeners should know that you know, I'm a medical doctor with the knowledge of biological systems and medicine, and Ted is a chemical oceanographer, so we have jointly some serious expertise in these areas. And of course, both of us have studied intensely the new energy systems, the alternative energy systems that have been suppressed ruthlessly by the national security state and by the corporate interests around the world. And we're just appalled to see the world sinking into this kind of nuclear terrorism sponsored by corporate interest and corporate greed. You know, when there are solutions sitting on the shelf at classified facilities run by our own Department of Energy. And in fact, I have a senior member of Congress who has a friend who had been one of these officials with the Department of Energy who personally saw entire storage rooms at the Oak Ridge National Laboratories where there were these kind of alternative energy, free energy, quote-unquote, misnomer, but energy that would, devices that would pull energy from the fabric of space-time, electromagnetic generators, devices that would completely replace oil and gas and nuclear power. And to the to most people, they think, well, gee, if it's a better mousetrap, why don't we have it? And we're going to get to that in a minute as to why we don't, and so that people understand. But I think what the other thing people need to understand, most people understand when they put oil or in their furnace to burn or gasoline in their car, the basics of how that it basically it burns it and you get an energy effect out of the burning of the fossil fuel or coal. Most people do not understand a nuclear power plant. They really, the average person believes that the electricity is coming from the nuclear. It is not. Basically, all a nuclear power plant is a circa 1800s steam generator, where basically you're heating up water, and that water creates steam when it gets hot, and that turns a steam turbine. And the turbine turns and turns a generator, which creates electricity. So basically, we're creating all this nuclear waste and all of this earth-destroying, life-destroying, genetic-mutating, cancer-inducing terror to boil water. That's all a nuclear power plant is. People have got to understand that. I remember talking with Dr. Tom Bearden about this, who's a PhD physicist, and he says it's the stupidest thing that was ever invented. But it's a way to keep the centralized grid alive, you see, because basically you can't have a nuclear power plant in your backyard. So it's tied into these large corporate grids and private corporations. And I might point out that talking about corporate citizens, the firm General Electric, which just posted a $5.1 billion net profit. Now, this is their profit after their CEO gets the $23 million salary and all of that, was tax-free, that they paid zero taxes. Now, I would like to personally make $5.1 billion and not pay one red cent in taxes, but somehow corporate America has lobbied Congress for all the loopholes so that this can happen. So here you have this corporate titan, and the CEO just went over to Japan because the reactors that are at this plant that are melting down are General Electric reactors.
That is correct.
And a lot of people, this has been reported very, very scantily in the press. So in the same week that they announced that this massive transnational, multinational corporation had a $5.1 billion tax-free profit with huge salaries and bonuses and windfalls where they paid no taxes at all, that the CEO was jetting over to Japan to consult with the TEPCO officials, the Tokyo Energy Company, electric power company that owns this reactor where the tsunami hit, because those are General Electric reactors that are melting down. So this is the kind of collusion and nonsense that goes on when these same interests would lobby Congress or have their minions in the patent office or in the government who would attempt to suppress someone who would come out with an energy device that would pull energy out of the zero-point energy field that would run your house and car without any pollution or radiation off the grid, and once you bought the system, would be free energy, just like a solar system. Once you put it in, it's free energy from the sun. Why don't we have these systems? It's corruption. There's only one word for it. I'm going to call it out, call it what it is. It's absolute abuse of power and corruption. So the OrionProject.org is trying to remedy this by educating the public to these facts and also get people focused on putting a little bit of our focus as a society, both individually and collectively, on supporting the scientists and engineers who do understand this new paradigm in energy generation so we can get the world off of this horrible nuclear power and fossil fuels.
Yes, absolutely. I wanted to add one more comment about the corruption issue, Steve. Do you realize that you probably know this? General Electric also owns some of the media companies, major media companies, as I understand it, NBC, MSNBC, and several others. And it's interesting, just recently there was an item that occurred relative to energy, which I'll mention in a second, that only Fox News is not noted for whatever sometimes, but in this case, Fox News came clear on this thing where none of the General Electric owners did. And the little gem on Fox News was that Obama, when his visit to President Obama and his visit to Brazil, put out an executive order to loan $2 billion to the Brazil Oil Exploration Company and to exploring for oil off the Brazilian coast. And the understanding is a loan of our tax money and that all of the oil must be sold to China. George Soros is the largest stockholder in that issue, in that group. That's the Wall Street Journal. So it goes deeper and wider in terms of the collusion that you just mentioned. That's just an example that I wanted to share. But people are not seeing that on the normal nightly news.
No, they're not going to see it on the normal nightly news. But these are facts that you can fact check. Every bit of this is what we're sharing are facts.
That's why I mentioned the Wall Street Journal.
The other fact that people have to understand is that there are no safe limits to these kinds of artificial nuclear radiation. I want to comment now as a medical doctor. We've all evolved over millions of years as organisms in a biosphere known as Earth within a certain parameter of background radiation that's very, very, very low level. That what we have done since the dawn of the nuclear era is to spew through nuclear power plants, but also nuclear weapons development and testing, a lot of this material into the air and into the water and into the food and that we eat. And is it any wonder that we have rapidly escalating cancer rates? Because cancers are clearly related to increasing levels of radiation. And each time they do a study medically, they find that the amount of radiation it takes to induce a genetic alteration to turn on one of the oncogenes, one of the genes that causes cancers, is lower than they thought before. In other words, the better our studies have become, the lower the tolerance is for natural biological systems to withstand this kind of artificial spikes in radiation. Now, we have a situation now where there is literally radioactivity being reported, increased radioactivity all throughout the United States from this disaster in Japan. God only knows. People say, well, the Pacific Ocean is very large. It's large, but it's not infinite. And people have to understand that things like the cesium-137, which is radioactive, has a half-life of something like, you know, 30 to 50 years. What that means is that in order for half the radiation to be reduced from that cesium, it takes decades. And here's the other problem. Cesium mimics potassium. And what that means is that all cellular organisms preferentially take in potassium in order to live. And that means whether it's plankton or seaweed or the fish or plants or what have you, they take it into their system and intracellularly into the cells, and then we eat them, okay? Whether you're vegan or not, doesn't matter. It's going to go into any kind of cell because the cesium mimics potassium, and all of you can go to your doctor and ask about potassium, but it's a very essential material, and this cesium mimics it. So it isn't just that it's in the environment, but it's preferentially taken into living organisms, which we will then eat. And so this is something for people to be aware of, and it is, I think, a crime against the earth and all of humanity that we continue not only to operate these enormously old, dangerous nuclear power plants when there's a solution that has been illegally suppressed and illegally made secret, but we're now funding, our tax dollars are funding to the tunes of tens of billions of dollars, loan guarantees to the nuclear power industry, General Electric, Westinghouse, and power companies to build new power plants that are based on this ridiculous paradigm of creating all this nuclear waste just to boil water and to create steam to turn a turbine. And that is the truth of what's going on. Now, you know, this ought to outrage anyone listening, and they need to go to the orionproject.org and learn about what these true alternative energy systems are and demand from their congressmen and their senators and the president, but also in their network of friends and contacts, say, look, why don't we get together and put together a funding capability so that the Orion Project can put together the best scientists that we've spent now 20 years identifying, who we have met with, we have their resumes, who are ready to quit their day jobs and work full-time to build out these new energy systems. We've been calling for this for now 3 years. We have not received enough funding to do that yet. We're hoping we will. But the question that always comes to my mind is, how deep does the pain have to be and how crazy does the world have to get? And how much suffering do we have to go through before people awaken to the fact that we're all frogs sitting in a pot getting ready to boil? And this is the kind of thing, this event in Japan needs to be understood in the context of a larger energy crisis. And it's not just energy shortages, but it's a crisis in thinking and paradigm, and a crisis, a tidal wave, a tsunami of corruption that has really created this situation. And that's what people need to really wrap their minds around and vow to change.
Absolutely. I wanted to add one more comment about the biological thing, and then we'll continue with alternatives that is the main topic here. I believe it's been shown that at a low level, let's see how I put this. If you have a person or a biological system receiving a low level, let's say 100 units of radioactivities, arbitrary units, over 1 year, as compared to 100 units of radioactivity over an hour, in other words, exposure to very high levels, it's not a linear effect.
Right.
In other words, that effect, that 100 units in the 1 hour, has a much more detrimental effect than the 100 units spread over a whole year. So when you hear the media saying, oh, this is just radiation equivalent to riding in an airplane or an x-ray at your dentist or one of those, or the amount of radiation you have just walking around, et cetera, the media has been making these sort of statements, it's really inappropriate. It's not apples and apples. It's something a little different because the effect is nonlinear. So that we find that on the Berkeley campus, rainwater has been reported to have a radioiodine of 181 times federal drinking water limits. That's a bit much. Now, I don't know how bad it is, and the people aren't running around with their mouths open drinking water. But nevertheless, this is something that people should be aware of.
One of the endemic medical conditions that you just scratched the surface are different thyroid diseases of all types that are related to this radioactive iodine, and not just thyroid cancer, but other types of thyroid dysfunction. And I know several people who have it, and I think that people have to realize that the prevalence of those conditions have gone up. And measurably in the nuclear era. And it's not a coincidence that that's the case. Same thing with birth defects, where you have genetic problems in a developing embryo and fetus. And I think that one of my concerns has been, as I look at the mainstream media coverage of this disaster, there's a minimizing of this. You do not have people who are medically competent and who know about energy systems talking about this. And yet I can tell you, as an emergency doctor, someone who ran an emergency and trauma center for 10 years, that we had a x-ray section in our emergency department, because it was a very busy place, and instead of going over to the x-ray department, we had a unit right there in the ER. And when someone was in there, I mean, it was this thick walled section with a thick metal door closed. The technician who was running that were wearing these heavy lead clad protective gear, and everyone got out. I mean, even in a major trauma case, I mean, everyone cleared the area and cleared the room. And the radiological technicians, they have these dosimeters they wear, even though they're not directly getting the x-ray. And these were just regular x-rays, okay? Now, the stuff we're talking about is many, many times the exposure of that. And look at the precautions we took. Why? Because we know better. We ask any radiologist, a medical doctor. I mean, this is a fraud being perpetrated on the public that, the dumping of this amount of radioactive material into the water, into the air, they found plutonium, which is one of the deadliest substances known to man.
Yeah, that is very nasty stuff.
On the soil there in Japan. So this is a very serious situation, and in the sense of the true word tragedy, in the sense of the Greek word tragedy and the Greek tragedy, it's a true tragedy because it's preventable. This is something we have not needed. For decades, there have been advances in these other kinds of energy systems that have been ruthlessly and criminally and illegally suppressed. And if anyone doubts that, I just want to take a minute. I am loath to read to people, but I want to share with people something from the Federation of American Scientists, a very mainstream group, and this is at the OrionProject.org. And we have posted this, and this is from the Government Secrecy Project of the Federation of American Scientists, and it was this was posted on October 21st of this past year, 2010, so very recently in the last 6 months, and it says, and I'm quoting here, there are 5,135 inventions that were under secrecy orders at the end of fiscal year 2010, the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office told Secrecy News last week. It's a 1% rise over the year before and the highest total in over a decade. Under the Invention Secrecy Act of 1951, we'll talk about that date in a moment, patent applications on new inventions can be subject to secrecy orders restricting their publication if government agencies believe that disclosure would be detrimental to the national security, end quotes. The current list of technology areas that is used to screen patent applications for possible restriction under the Invention Secrecy Act is not publicly available and has been denied under the Freedom of Information Act. An appeal is pending. But a previous list dated from 1971, now this is 40 years ago, and obtained by researcher Michael Rabnitsky is available. Most of the listed technology areas are closely related to military applications, but some of them range more widely. The 1971 list indicates that patents for solar photovoltaic generators, let me repeat this, 1971 list indicates that patents for solar photovoltaic generators were subject to review and possible restriction if the photovoltaics were more than 20% efficient. Energy conversion systems were likewise subject to review and possible restriction if they offered conversion efficiencies in excess of 70 to 80%. One may fairly ask if disclosure of such technologies could really have been detrimental to the national security, or whether the opposite would be closer to the truth. One may further ask what comparable advances in technology may be subject to restriction and non-disclosure today, but no answers are forthcoming, and the invention secrecy system persists with no discernible external review. End of report. Now,
that's very powerful.
This is very powerful. I want to go through this with people very, very carefully and listen to every word I'm about to share with you. This thing, 40 years ago, they were classifying and restricting solar photovoltaic, which is when you take electricity from the sun through a process, a regular solar cell. Not for hot water, but for electricity, that if they were 20% more efficient, they grabbed them. Now, I have heard for years from people who are in the national security system that we have had inventions that would have converted sunlight to electricity at many times the efficiency of what you can buy now from Sharp or from Shell or any of these conglomerates that are now selling photovoltaic. I have some solar at my place. Those tend to be very inefficient. They range from 8 to 12 to 14%. But 40 years ago, they were seizing things that were 20% or more. Why? That's the price point at which it would be absolutely competitive with coal and oil. So this was not for the national security. What national? It's not like it's a bomb. What possible reason would there be except that it would threaten the moneyed interests and the corrupting influence of this large money, not just in the United States, but around the world. And any guy who was this a brilliant person who would invent a photovoltaic system that would be very, very efficient to where solar system energy systems would compete with oil and coal, they'd seize it, criminally abusing the National Security Act. I also want to follow up on this quote, that energy conversion systems that were over 70 or 80% efficient. This is important because your typical internal combustion engine is 30, 40, 50, whatever. I mean, the amount of conversion of the gasoline into actual energy is pretty low. This was a statement that anything that exceeded 70 or 80%. Now, the systems we're talking about are over unity, meaning more than 100%, so that when you start the system up, say if you put in a kilowatt of power, you might get 10 kilowatts out because you're tapping into this environmental energy known as the zero-point energy field. So if they're going to seize things 70 to 80%, you know they're going to seize things that are 1,000%.
Yes, or require no input, which means they're basically infinitely over unity if they just run and produce.
Correct. And these are the ones that we know exist that have been seized. We know people. I know people personally who have developed these so-called trans-dimensional or hyper-dimensional physics energy systems where they have had national security orders slapped on them. Ted, personally visited the warehouse where Stan Meyer's materials were kept, and there was a toroidal a sort of a donut-shaped toroidal device that had a sort of magnetic fluid material in it that had a national security order slapped on it in, I believe, 1984 or something like that.
Yes, it was very early on. And it's interesting because some of the people we talked to were, they felt that was the best technology he had.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, one of the scientists who worked with him said that that alone would be the one of the most important things that Stanmeyer ever developed, but the public didn't know about it.
Yep. Now, they just thought he made water into fuel to run his car.
Right. Right. And that is hardly, that was the tip of the iceberg. So, unfortunately, what has happened is that there have been these abuses of the Invention Secrecy Act of 1951. It's interesting that it was around that time, in the early 50s, between at the end of World War II and up to about 1954, that they began to study and had figured out anti-gravity, electromagnetogravitic systems, and they figured out that they needed a system to be able to seize these inventions, because increasingly people were coming up with ways to get energy so we wouldn't have to burn oil. So since the time before I was born, there has been an organized effort by these corrupt interests, not really in the interest of national security, but in the interest of big oil, the petrodollar, the big corporate interests, etc. And if you look at our national security interests, our national security interests would be getting off of imported oil, not being dependent on Mideast oil for our economic viability, not polluting the world, seeing that the world had a type of energy system where there could be the elimination of poverty. The poverty that has encircled the globe is only radicalizing populations and making people resent and hate the West. Any way you want to analyze our national security interest, environmental interest, long-term survival interest, peace in the world, justice in the world, et cetera, and so on, there's no rationale except this macroeconomic corruption that has been perpetrated by a clique of people who have abused these national security acts and the Invention Secrecy Acts. And this is something which, you know, I would love to see CNN or MSNBC and NBC, which of course is owned by General Electric, and some of these big media outfits actually drill deep into this report from the Federation of American Scientists, a very mainstream scientific group, which has now revealed that this kind of chicanery is going on. And it's going on every single day. This is thousands, 5,135 inventions. Now, the thing to understand, that's just the tip of the iceberg, because if you look at what had been seized by Stanmeyer, there wasn't a patent on that one.
That's right.
See, he hadn't gotten that far. But they knew he had developed something that was basically an over-unity, meaning more than 100% efficient system. I know a man who worked at Lawrence Berkeley Labs who was using barium titanate crystals. And these barium titanate crystals were used with an electromagnetic analyzer to put a very high voltage signal into them. And on the output part of the signal, he was getting over 10 times more energy out than was going in. And that was seized. He was abducted. He was put into a mental hospital and put on Thorazine. This is a physicist that I know personally. And these sort of criminal behavior, now there's something, he never was anywhere near patenting this thing. He was just doing experiments at Lawrence Berkeley Labs. So we have another man that we worked with who, after he finished college, started developing a very high-voltage transdimensional systems with all kinds of amazing energy generation capabilities. And these jackbooted thugs came into his place of business. He had started his own small company. And they came in and they said, "Sir, this now belongs to us. We are taking this and putting it in the quote-unquote vault, and you are now working for us." And ever since then, since 1970-something, this man, who we know very well, has worked, in fact, for various classified projects for the U.S. government. This kind of abuse needs to be investigated and stopped. Now, what the Orion Project is about doing is to put together the people ready to go the distance with us And as the head of the project, if I get hit with one of these national security orders, I will take it and I will tear it up live on television and on the internet, and I will dare them to come arrest us. I think we have got to have our own global Tahrir Square on energy. I think we have got to get together and say, we have had enough of this macroeconomic tyranny that is destroying the planet, keeping the 40% of the world in unbelievable poverty. 40% of the world doesn't even have plumbing. Doesn't even have a pot to pee in. That's 2.8 billion people. Destroying the biosphere and keeping us addicted to these expensive nuclear and fossil fuel systems that are increasingly eroding our security, not just national security of the United States, but the whole global security. And so there has got to be an educational momentum that kicks in here, that people begin to feel enough outrage that they are going to say, we've had enough.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'm going to add something to that, and then I'll let you continue, Steve. Part of the addition, part of the problem also is the president just recently, just within the last week to 2 weeks, had a, quote, major speech on energy technologies and energy issues. And basically, it was business as usual.
Absolutely, business. In fact, the Orion project spent quite a bit of funding and personnel time to put together a grant proposal to the ARPA-E, which is the alleged alternative energy effort from the Department of Energy. It's really energy theater, just like the TSA is security theater. And it was not even accepted for review accepted. And so, you know, here we are putting hundreds of billions of dollars into a smart grid and to subsidizing new nuclear power plants and all this other nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
When one end, that's in one end of the government with our taxpayer dollars, with the other part of the government is going around seizing and illegally abusing the Invention Secrecy Act and the National Security Act to suppress these real solutions, the genuine solutions, instead of the what I call the faux, F-A-U-X, the false solutions, the faux solutions. And I think that this is what people have to understand, is that it's time for us to say to folks that this is enough, and that if the government won't do this, then we need to do it. And you know, look, I have spent since the 90s briefing CIA directors and members of the Senate and the Congress and heads of state, and you name it, I've met with them. All of them are supportive of what we would like to do. None of them want to stick their necks out and walk into the buzzsaw of these powerful special interests. That's where the Orion Project comes in, by having a lot of people know about what we're doing and get support. And this is why, you know, we have just finished a grant proposal for a $5.7 million two-year funding to build out a facility, equip it properly, and staff it with these engineers and scientists. And a lot of people have said to me, well, why can't, you know, these people just come out with this? And I said, well, it's not that easy. The people who have done this on their own have been attacked and seized. Now, we're still looking for people who might have systems that are actually big breakthroughs in energy generation that have already been built. But for the most part, most of those people really haven't been able to do that without getting into the buzzsaw, as we say, of the suppression. We have to create an operation where the public would be watching what we're doing, would support what we're doing, and where the scientists and the engineers and the physicists would be working in a secure environment, collaborating together to build these systems up. And we're not starting from scratch. I tell people we'd be starting from standing on the shoulders of 100 years of intellectual geniuses and scientists who have already done this work. And in many cases, the people we would hire are people who have actually been in laboratories, some government and some corporate, where they have seen these systems built and have experimented with the science. So we wouldn't be starting from square one by any means. And this is why we think that within 18 months or so, we would have at least the beginnings of the major breakthroughs in this, which what we would do with that is then at the instant that we had a breakthrough of an operating system that was over unity, meaning something that was pulling free energy from the vacuum or the zero-point energy field, this would be disclosed massively, just like the Disclosure Project reached nearly 1 billion people worldwide almost 10 years ago, that this is what we have to do with this energy effort. But to get to that point, we've got to have an operating device, and that's going to take some support. And the amount that we're asking for is a really very small amount. When you look at the kinds of funds that are spent on other efforts. And so we're hoping that there are some people out there who can combine, identify people who will do this for us and help us network to find an institution, an environmental group, an individual who is willing to go the distance on this. Because, frankly, we really are running out of time to tinker around the edges of this crisis, not just environmentally and geophysically, but geopolitically. I mean, one more big uprising in the Middle East where the Straits of Hormuz get closed or the Suez Canal shuts off, and we have a major disruption of the supply of oil to the West from the Middle East, and everyone's going to realize what chaos the world can sink into. And our whole society is incredibly vulnerable because of this stupidity, and our entire national security and military apparatus is geared towards these absurd, quote-unquote, national security interests, which really is just a fancy way of saying our need to stay addicted to oil.
That's correct. And to add a comment about that, we have people who tell us, why don't you just tell the president about these technologies? Well, we have.
Yep, we certainly
have. We have told the president. We've put together documentation with names, serial numbers, the whole business, references, and that information has gotten to the White House. And as you can see from the president's speech on energy, it was basically the usual solar, windmills, nuclear energy, and business as usual, as I mentioned earlier.
And solar is great if you've got a spare $100,000 laying around,
yep.
And so that you can make your house truly independent by using sun, that's wonderful. I hope you do it. But you know, let's face it, you got 7 billion people in the world, and it's not likely that much of a percentage of those 7 billion people can slap down $100,000. To put an off-the-grid solar system, solar photovoltaic system in, because we're relying on these solar panels that are, 8 and 10 and 12 and 14% efficient instead of 50% efficient, which is what we have if they hadn't been suppressed. So all these alternative energies are. And by the way, the reason that there's so much mainstream support for like windmill farms and big corporate solar farms is that it keeps everything tied into a grid. Now, why do they care about that? It's like J.P. Morgan telling Nikola Tesla when Tesla had an electric car running on free energy back in the 20s. He said, basically, if I can't put a meter on it, it isn't going to get out there, because they want to be able to keep all of us as sort of slaves on a macroeconomic plantation where we're all paying our electric bill, paying to fill up our car, paying to – so what these true breakthroughs in alternative energy would be you would no longer need a grid. Now visualize, go and look at your city and town with all those ugly transformers and power lines. Those we don't need. Those are from the late 1800s. Go look at photographs of New York City in the late 1800s. It looks the same as
usual.
And we haven't made any progress. But the problem is that there are so many trillions of dollars of special interests and corrupting interests that have infected our government, and where they are not looking out after the people, and they are not looking out after our national security. As this Federation of American Scientists paper says, that the disclosure of such technologies how could they be detrimental to the national security? And the opposite is actually closer to the truth, that their disclosure would enhance our national security. So if it isn't for national security reasons and it isn't benefiting and protecting the public, then who is benefiting from the current policy? General Electric, Westinghouse, Exxon, BP, the big utilities. et cetera, and so on. You know, I looked into putting solar in my house, and here's a little factoid that a lot of people don't realize. In the state of Virginia, if you want to put more than 10 kilowatts on your house, you can't do it without a commercial operating permit. You can't put 12 kilowatts on because they lobbied the legislature so that if someone wanted to have a solar farm that would create more energy from the sun, you then have to go through all the hoops like you were doing a commercial power plant. Well, no one can afford to do that. So I looked into that in the state of Virginia. This thing is so mobbed up. It's the biggest racket. And really, at a certain point, this really needs to come to the light of day, where it's basically a racketeering-influenced corrupt organization, RICO, which is what they call the mafia and the mob, effort that has kept these wondrous new sciences and technologies suppressed, where people have literally been threatened. People I know personally have been threatened. I have been. Where people that we're working with have been close to developing something for us like a year ago, and who then had a former CIA director who began representing big corporations like Booz Allen Hamilton and others, who then came down and threatened him and his wife. And we have had this happen. So I think the only way this is going to change is for us to put our own operation together where the public knows about it massively, and also at the same time where the public educates their neighbor and their friends and their colleagues and everyone who has an interest in the state of the world and this disaster in Japan. Yes, we have to fix this problem that's happening in Japan, but let's prevent the next Japan from happening by liberating the world from the yoke, from the tyranny and the terror of nuclear power and fossil fuels. And we can do that, but we're going to have to come together as a people and vow to do it. It isn't going to happen by itself, my friends, and it's very unlikely that it's going to happen by action from a president or a Congress, which are bought and paid for by these massive special interests. And that's not just this president, it's every president. I mean, unfortunately, this is perhaps a dim view of politics, but I think it's a realistic one. I think is that once someone gets to that level of national power, they understand that if they were to make a change this large, that it's what one person who worked closely with George W. Bush told me, he worked with the nuclear power industry on behalf of the nuclear power industry with the Bush administration. He said, look, yes, these things exist. Yes, this is good. He says, but they're too good. And it's not that they're too good to be true, but they're too good because they would disrupt the current macroeconomic order. And people have to understand it isn't just the fact that the sale of fossil fuels, it's also the trillions of dollars that are traded in commodities. I mean, think about it. All the proven oil reserves and all the coal reserves and all the uranium and all these commodities are traded in futures contracts and derivatives. And that market and all the training and churning of commissions and all this is the stuff and the stock and trade of outfits like Goldman Sachs, which in Washington they call it Government Sachs because they really establish policy. They virtually own the Treasury. So I think that people have to understand that these large corrupting influences are corrupt, and that we, the people, at least a small number of us, I mean, maybe not all 300 million Americans or 7 billion people on the planet, but a certain number of us need to come together and say, look, we've had enough. We're going to put our time, our effort, and we're going to end the risk, but to stand up to this behemoth. And because we know that the world can do better than this, that the world can have energy that liberates every man, woman, child from this economic slavery, but also where we can then liberate Gaia, the earth spirit, from being destroyed and being poisoned by radioactivity and fossil fuel emissions and cancer-causing agents. You know, all of this damage we're doing to the biosphere can be cleaned up and fixed in a matter of 10 or 20 years. And I think that what we have to understand, and this is the very good news, is that within a generation, we could have a world where there'd be no more pollution, no poverty, and that the damage we have done to the earth could be completely cleaned up. So what a beautiful thought that is. So why don't we do it? I mean, the science is there. The technologies have been there. We need to organize and have the will to make it happen. And that's why the OrionProject.org, you can go to that website, the Orion, O-R-I-O-N.org, the OrionProject.org. Orion, like the constellation, O-R-I-O-N. And the OrionProject.org is really our flagship effort to focus the public on this issue, educate people, and we're still spending a great deal of time meeting with people and educating them. But what we have not been able to do is either get the public or private interest to put up the funding to do serious research and development on this. And I can tell you that, you know, 10 years ago when I did the Disclosure Project, I knew a couple people who'd worked in these areas. Now we have a number of really excellent scientists, physicists, engineers who have worked in these projects, some in some of the largest Department of Defense labs, who are ready to quit their jobs, their day jobs, if we can hire them. But, of course, hiring them requires a budget, and we don't have a budget to do that. So that's why we need a funding. And this is something that people from all walks of life who are concerned about what's happening with these nuclear power plants and with fossil fuels and the instability of the Mideast threatening our supply of energy. And, you know, we could be back to oil and gas rationing very quickly with just a little bit more, one more, you know, tinderbox igniting over in the Middle East. Our whole society is so fragile and dependent on these systems.
It is.
It's very unwise, and we can fix it. We can do better.
I'm going to add a comment in here, Steve, if I may.
Absolutely.
What Steve is talking about, if all you have to do is flip your mind on how it impacts, and he mentioned that within 10 to 20 years, it could be a whole new world. Let me make a comment here that this bringing these technologies does not have to be a lose-lose. It can really be a win-win.
Right.
First of all, you don't replace the existing system overnight. It's going to take 10 to 20 years just to replace the existing system of what we have with cars and our infrastructure. But it can be done stepwise. And it can be done in a manner that a lot of the manufacturing of the new technologies hopefully can be done in the United States again. This will change the economic balance a bit and put the United States back on a forward-moving instead of a backward-moving economic direction.
Exactly.
It can be a win-win if it's handled well and carried out by a group of adults with a view toward the future and vision. We seem to be lacking that in this area.
Yeah, and this is real change we can believe in, to use a slogan.
Right.
That the change that we need is really clear, visionary change that is courageous, and rather than the pandering that's going on with pseudo alternative energy efforts that it will never amount to more than a couple percent of the energy we consume while we continue to destroy the planet. And the other thing to realize is that all these sort of big changes in human history have come out of not the power centers, but from outside group like ours. And this is something that people shouldn't look and say, oh, well, this is a small group wanting to do that. All the major changes in human history have happened that way.
Mm-hmm.
All of them, everywhere. So we have to come together, those of us who care about the Earth and the future and about a just and peaceful planet, and decide that this is what can be done, what must be done. And that's why, Dr. Loader and myself and Dr. Bravo and many others have spent so many years working on this issue, educating senators and educating the public and identifying people to come together. But ultimately, you know, none of us have the ability to personally fund a laboratory and equip it and hire all these people on our own budgets. But we know that if enough of us come together and did it, we could do that. And so that's what we're trying to do with the OrionProject.org. And we have gone the route of asking from the Department of Energy for these ARPA-E grants. We have met a lot of people say, well, why don't you talk to some of these very wealthy people? We have. And actually, you know, I've met with guys and flown on their private jets and talked to them about this. And basically, they'll turn to me and say, well, we'll be stepping on the toes of some pretty big gorillas, and I don't want to take that risk. So the very wealthy people out there we've met with have
more scared.
Yeah, they run scared. One of them told me about how he had known an executive with General Motors in the 1960s who had these devices in a classified project and wanted every car GM made to come out using electric energy like this that would be never on any oil or gas or coal system. And he said that 2 weeks later, the guy was found dead of an apparent suicide. But he said the guy absolutely wasn't suicidal, but the guy was somehow taken out because he was pushing to have this happen and was beginning to talk about it. So unfortunately, you know, you can't do this in a secretive way either. Many people come to me and say, well, let's just do this. I mean, in fact, we recently met with one of these guys who had this idea that is presented to me about once a month by somebody. Well, let's develop this and just secretly slip it into somewhere. I said, look, you know, you're dealing with a national security apparatus that has everything monitored, and you're never going to do this secretively. The best way to do it is to do it in the light of day with millions of people who know about it. And this is why part of our strategy is making a public appeal for these funds, doing it very publicly, and then when we have something operational, it'd be like the DisclosureProject.org, where if you go to DisclosureProject.org, you'll see we started putting out literally dozens of top secret witness testimonies about classified programs and documents, and then literally millions and millions of people saw that. So the same has to be done with this. If you try to do it secretively, you're basically dancing on their dance floor, and they have secrecy wrapped up. So the way to do it is to not dance on their dance floor. Let's create our own stage and do this openly and publicly and transparently, and let the public know that these devices exist. Because my view of it is that the instant we have something like this operational, you go massively public, satellite TV, internet, everything. And literally a couple billion people find out about it within 24 hours. Because what you have to do is squeeze the toothpaste out of the tube so quickly that they can't put it back in. The genie's out of the bottle. And that's really what we have a unique ability to do. We've already done it. It's not like a theoretical thing. We did it with Disclosure Project, and we can do it with this, but we need your help. And anybody who has the means to help us develop these programs further and put these scientists together, and let us know. If somebody knows someone who actually has an operational device who's been sitting on it out of fear, they need to get hold of Dr. Loader right away, because he heads up an engineering team that will evaluate it, and if it's legitimate then can be reproduced and is real science, then the public will know about it in short order.
Yes, that's about sums it up, doesn't it?
Indeed. Well, thank you, Ted, for joining me today. And I just wanted to give this update to folks on the OrionProject.org and some perspective on what's happening in the world. And, you know, we all know that we have a problem, and what people need to know is that there is a solution. And for that, we should be hopeful and grateful and stay in that positive thought and do something positive about it. So thank you, Ted, and I'd like to thank the folks at
World
Fusion Network for hosting us. And until next time, this is Dr. Stephen Greer with Conversations with Dr. Greer. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.